Chapter 31. Pitt was contemplating a menu when the maitre d' of Positano Restaurant on Fairmont Avenue steered Lauren to his table. She moved with athletic grace, nodding and exchanging a few words with the Capitol crowd eating lunch amid the restaurant's murals and wine racks. Pitt looked up and their eyes met. She returned his appraising stare with an even smile. Then he rose and pulled back her chair. "Damn, you look ugly today," he said. She laughed. "You continue to mystify me." "How so?" "One minute you're a gentleman and the next a slob. I was told women crave variety." Her eyes, clear and soft, were amused. "I do give you credit, though. You're the only man I know who doesn't kiss my Fanny." Pitt's face broke into his infectious grin. "That's because I don't need any political favors." She made a face and opened a menu. "I don't have time to be made fun of. I have to get back to my office and respond to a ton of constituents' mail. What looks good?" "I thought I'd try the zuppa di pesce." "My scale said I was up a pound this morning. I think I'll just have a salad." The waiter approached. "A drink?" Pitt asked. "You order. 2 Sazerac cocktails on the rocks, and please ask the bartender to pour rye instead of bourbon." "Very good, sir," the waiter acknowledged. Lauren laid her napkin in her lap. "I've phoned for 2 days. Where have you been?" "The Admiral sent me on an emergency salvage job." "Was she pretty?" she asked, playing the age-old game. "A coroner might think so, but drowned bodies never turned me on." "Sorry," she said, and went sober and quiet until the drinks were brought. They stirred the ice around the glasses and then sipped the reddish contents. "One of my aides ran across something that might help you," she said finally.
"What is it?"
She pulled several stapled sheets of typewritten paper from her attaché case and passed them to Pitt. Then she began explaining in a soft undertone.
"Not much meat, I'm afraid, but there's an interesting report on the CIA's Phantom Navy."
"Didn't know they had one," Pitt said, scanning the pages.
"Since 1963, they have accumulated a small fleet of ships that few people inside the government know about, and the few who are aware of the fleet won't admit it exists. Besides surveillance, its primary function is to carry out clandestine operations involving the transporting of men and supplies for the infiltration of agents or guerrillas into unfriendly countries. Originally, it was put together to harass Castro after his takeover of Cuba. Several years later, when it became apparent that Castro was too strong to topple, their activities were curtailed, partly because the Cubans threatened to retaliate against American fishing vessels. From that time on, the CIA Navy expanded its sphere of operations from Central America to the fighting in Vietnam to Africa and the Middle East. Do you follow?"
"I'm with you, but I have no idea where it's leading."
"Just be patient," she said. "Several years ago, an attack cargo transport called the Hobson was a part of the Navy's reserve mothball fleet at Philadelphia. She was decommissioned and sold to a commercial shipping company, a cover for the CIA. They spared no expense in rebuilding her to outwardly resemble a common cargo carrier, while her interior was filled with concealed armament, including a new missile system, highly sophisticated communications and listening gear, and a facility for launching fast patrol and landing boats through swinging bow doors. She was manned and ready on station during Iran's disastrous invasion of Kuwait and Saudi Arabia in 1985. Flying the maritime flag of Panama, she secretly sank 2 Soviet spy ships in the Persian Gulf. The Russians could never prove who did it, because none of our Navy ships were within range. They still think the missiles that destroyed their ships came from the Saudi shore."
"And you found out about all this?"
"I have my sources," she informed him.
"Does the Hobson have anything to do with the pilot town?"
"Indirectly," Lauren answered.
"Go on."
3 years ago, the Hobson vanished with all hands off the Pacific coast of Mexico."
"So?"
"So, 3 months later, the CIA found her again."
"Sounds familiar," Pitt mused.
"My thought, too," Lauren nodded. "A replay of the San Marino and the Belle Chasse."
"Where was the Hobson discovered?"
Before Lauren could answer, the waiter set their plates on the table. The zuppa di pesce, an Italian bouillabaisse, looked sensational. As soon as the waiter walked out of earshot, he nodded to her.
"Go on."
"I don't know how the CIA tracked the ship down, but they came on her sitting in a dry dock in Sydney, Australia, where she was undergoing a major facelift."
"They find who she was registered to?"
"She flew the Philippine flag under the registry of Samar Exporters, a bogus firm that was incorporated only a few weeks earlier in Manila. Her new name was Boris.
Boris, Pitt echoed. Must be the name of a person.
How's your salad?
The dressing is very tasty, and yours?
Excellent, he answered. An act of sheer stupidity on the part of the pirates to steal a ship belonging to the CIA. A case of a mugger rolling a drunk and finding out the drunk was an undercover detective.
What happens next in Sydney?
Nothing. The CIA, working with the Australian branch of the British Secret Service, tried to apprehend the owners of the Boris, but were never able to find them.
No leads, no witnesses?
The small Korean crew living on board had been recruited in Singapore. They knew little and could only give a description of the captain who had vanished.
Pitt took a swallow of water and examined a page of the report.
Not much of an ID. Korean, medium height, 165 pounds, black hair, gap in front teeth.
That narrows it down to about 5 or 10 million men, he said sarcastically.
Well, at least now I don't feel so bad. If the CIA can't pin a make on whoever was sailing around the world hijacking ships, I sure as hell can't.
Has St. Julian Perlmutter called you?
Pitt shook his head. Haven't heard a word. Probably lost heart and deserted the cause.
I have to desert the cause, too, Lauren said gently, but only for a little while.
Pitt looked at her sternly a moment, then relaxed and laughed. How did a nice girl ever become a politician?
She wrinkled her nose.
Chauvinist.
Seriously, where will you be?
A short fact-finding junket on a Russian cruise ship sailing the Caribbean.
Of course, Pitt said. I'd forgotten you chair the Committee for Merchant Marine Transport.
Lauren nodded and patted her mouth with her napkin.
The last cruise ship to fly the Stars and Stripes was taken out of service in 1984. To many people, this is a national disgrace. The President feels strongly that we should be represented in ocean commerce as well as naval defense. He's asking Congress for a budget outlay of $90 million to restore the SS United States, which has been laid up at Norfolk for 20 years, and put her back in service to compete with the foreign cruise lines.
And you're going to study the Russian method of lavishing their passengers with vodka and caviar?
That, she said, looking suddenly official, and the economics of their government-operated cruise ship.
When do you sail?
Day after tomorrow. I fly to Miami and board the Leonid Andreev. I'll be back in 5 days. What will you do?
The Admiral has given me time off to pursue the Pilot Town investigation.
Does any of this information help you?
Every bit helps, he said, straining to focus on a thought that was a distant shadow on the horizon. Then he looked at her.
Have you heard anything through the congressional grapevine?
You mean gossip, like who's screwing who?
Something heavier. Rumors of a missing party high in government or a foreign diplomat.
Lauren shook her head.
No, nothing quite so sinister. The Capitol scene is pretty dull while Congress is in recess.
Why? You know of a scandal brewing? I don't.
Just asking, Pitt said noncommittally.
Her hand crept across the table and clasped his.
I have no idea where all this is taking you, but please be careful. Fu Manchu might get wise you're on his scent and lay in ambush.
Pitt turned and laughed. I haven't read Sachs Romer since I was a kid. Fu Manchu, the Yellow Peril. What made you think of him?
She gave a little shrug.
I don't really know. A mental association with an old Peter Sellers movie, the Sosan Trading Company, and the Korean crew of the Boris, I guess.
A faraway look came over Pitt's eyes, and then they widened. The thought on the horizon crystallized. He hailed the waiter and paid the bill with a credit card.
I've got to make a couple of phone calls, he explained briefly.
He kissed her lightly on the lips and hurried onto the crowded sidewalk.